Right? Now, you know, these messages are packed full of wisdom nuggets. And you know, I would encourage you to listen to them more than just amening and leaping while you're here. But we live in a time where these things are captured. I mean, you don't have to, we don't have to run off cassette tapes anymore and all that. I mean, just in a very short time, you can have it on your phone forever, or on your laptop or whatever. It's an astounding technology that we have. And it's up to you whether you're going to listen or not, see? And coming into these meetings will change your faith level. It will change your faith level. And when your faith level changes, your life changes. You can be one step away from that manifestation. That's why Brother Copeland coined the phrase, one word from God can change your life forever. It's a true statement. See, well, the word that changed my life forever, well, there's several, but where the word of a king is, there is power. And when I read that out at the farm, that became my motto, if you will. That will be on my tombstone if Jesus should tarry. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The world will tell you, look before you leap. But we leap before we look. Thank you for your enthusiasm tonight. Did you hear what I said? The world says, well, you better look before you leap. No, we leap before we look. Come on now. Noah leaped before he looked. Noah being warned, that's a strong word, warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I want to talk to you tonight about the fear of the Lord faith. Fear of the Lord faith. He wasn't in fear like the spirit of fear. He had the fear of the Lord, which is a cautious respect for God and his ways. Now, it is impossible to live the life of faith consistently apart from the fear of the Lord. You can have a moment of faith where your faith shot up and you reached out and grabbed a miracle. People do it all the time. They get born again. Right? And then they go no further because they have no fear of the Lord. But for you and I to see consistent manifestation in our life, our faith has to be side by side, if you will, if you allow that, with the fear of the Lord. See, Noah had the fear of the Lord, not being scared of God, even though if when the wicked finally come to that day, they're going to be scared of God. The devils know there's a God, and they tremble, right? I mean, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But you and I are his children. We've been brought into the kingdom, right? But there should be a cautious respect for God and His ways. The result of that is obedience. The result of the fear of the Lord is obedience. Don't tell me you have the fear of the Lord and then you pick and choose what you want to do. See, I didn't pick and choose to have these meetings. The head of the church orchestrated it. But I have the fear of the Lord that I'm going to do it. And I know if I'll step out and do it, there'll be grace for it if I access it by faith. And we'll have the benefits from it. Right? We're not trying to hide away from the world by having meetings every night. No, we're coming in here so we can go into the world and turn it upside down, or really right side up. So the fear of the Lord faith, very important, because a lot of people, they don't know who their God is. And they come up with this daddy God. And, you know, that I'm a friend of God. You better be careful with that, both of them. Because what I've heard out of the seeker-friendly voices is they bring God down to an earthly understanding instead of bringing us up to a heavenly understanding. You are seated in heavenly places. And when all of a sudden He's Daddy God, and I'm a friend of God, well, our souls start thinking about Daddy, Daddy, and friends, and we don't realize when God says friend, He's talking about covenant. When there's a difference between daddy and father. Be careful with that, see? And when you have the fear of the Lord, then you have this reverence for the Father. You have a reverence for the Master. You have a reverence for the Spirit of God. See? Very important. Now, let's look at some things tonight. Hallelujah. Look over here in Acts chapter 9. Talking about the fear of the Lord faith. Because what happens is your faith gets you into some stuff. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? God challenges you, and all of a sudden you find yourself fighting the good fight of faith. Now, this, and when you're in that battle, is when you really need the fear of the Lord, because you could lean to your own understanding, and you could try to figure this thing out yourself, but it's not a time to run from God. It's a time to go to Him with a cautious respect for God and His ways. What would you have me do here? My mind's thinking I ought to do this. What are you saying? And He's probably going to tell you something you don't want to hear. Right? Come on now, follow me in this. But the fear of the Lord, if you really have it, will override what you didn't want to hear. And you're going to end up doing it anyhow. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. Where God be talking to you about a situation, or you went to Him talking about it, and He said to you, "Oh, this is what you need to do." And that's not what you wanted to hear. You just wanted Him to fix it. Just fix it. I know you can. All things are possible. Right? Right? And he says, "All right, but I want you to do this." Right? Now see, he says, "My soul has no pleasure in them that draw back." Right? But the fear of the Lord will cause you to do. You know, I said it last night where Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" One thing for Jesus to be your Savior, and there's millions of brothers and sisters on the planet that have made Jesus their Savior, but they never made Him Lord. Because when you make Him Lord, that's when whatever He saith unto you, do. Now, the fear of the Lord, listen, this is a whole other message, right, what I'm about to say. But you're bought with a price. You are not your own. And when that gets real to you, not just to pass the charismatic quiz, but when that really gets real to you, that you are not your own. This don't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. I'm Jesus possessed. When that becomes real to you, then whatever He says unto you, He's just allowing you to have this vessel while you're here on this planet. I mean, if all He wanted to do is get you in the kingdom, then once you get born again, zap you out of here, right? But He has a plan and a purpose, yes, for you to enjoy life, for sure, for sure. But your greatest enjoyment is going to be in the perfect will of God, having His purpose in you and moving through you. And the more you realize that you don't belong to you anymore, the quicker the fear of the Lord will be real to you. Are you following this? Come on now, stay with me. This week we're just getting a foundation laid to where we can move on in the second and third week. Right? So, the fear of the Lord. Acts chapter 9. It says in verse 31, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost," were what? Were what? So they were edified and they were multiplied. How? Walking in the fear of the Lord, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Folks, I'm telling you, if the early church was walking in the fear of the Lord, and we know that the early church was walking by faith and not by sight, then we know that walking by faith needs for the person to see consistency and be edified and multiplied on a consistent fashion to be also walking in the fear of the Lord. And that's what's so important about Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Fear of the Lord. Are you following this? And so the fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. Don't do that. Well, I just feel like, no, don't do that. And see, I don't want to do anything to hurt the Holy Ghost's feelings. Well, I thought we don't go by our feelings. The Bible says don't grieve the Holy Ghost. You have feelings. They've just been perverted. Your feelings are supposed to be renewed to the blessing side feelings instead of the curse side feelings. Right? But it says do not grieve the Holy Ghost. What grieves the Holy Ghost? Disobedience. When He knows that you heard Him, when He knows that He's made something real to you, and you are refusing. Remember how He's trying to fuse things? And you're refusing what He's wanting to do. And again, I'm not talking about living a life scared of God. That's perversion once you've been translated into the kingdom. Now, for a sinner, and certainly for the wicked, yeah, you know, some will get saved hearing about hell. Some will get saved just fearing death, you know, and what happens afterwards. Are you following what I'm saying? But it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, right? And so this fear of the Lord is something that you and I don't have automatically. You weren't dealt the measure of the fear of the Lord. You were dealt the measure of faith. So the fear of the Lord has to be learned. It has to be acquired through experience, through relationship with God, and understanding destiny. Because when you start discovering that God has a plan for you more than the plan of salvation, as far as getting born again in the kingdom, and that He wants to use you to make an impact on people's lives, then you start to realize, well, wait a minute. I need to be more attentive to God more than just on Sunday. Right? Years ago, I was out at the farm, and I was up in the barn, and I was all caught up and working up there in the barn, and all of a sudden, you know, several hours had gone by, and I just stopped. My Bible was laying over there on a bale of hay, and I stopped and realized, my goodness, I went all this time without thinking about God. And I told God, I'm sorry. I don't want that to ever happen. I want to think about You every hour. He said, really? I said, yes, I invite You to invade my awareness every hour of my life. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, I'm sure. And He did it. And then I realized that wasn't good enough. I said, every half hour. Now, see, this is where I was with the drug addict. When I was a drug addict, it wasn't good enough just to get high for a little bit. I want to be high all the time. Right? And when when I got saved and heard the voice of God, I didn't want to ever lose that. And it went from a half hour to 15 minutes. You know the story. And finally I said, all the time. All the time. I want to be aware all the time. And that's not an impossibility. You can be aware of God constantly. Right? And I value my relationship with God above my relationship with my wife. And vice versa. She does the same. Right? Because without her relationship with God, my relationship with God, we don't have a relationship that's really going to be able to handle all the things that God has called us and assigned us to do. Right? We need to be in agreement. We need to be on the, what the world would say, the same page. Right? So we see then that the churches, they had rest walking in the fear of the Lord. So it's not some Old Testament fear of the Lord, because Noah was in the Old Testament, that somehow is done away by goofy grace teaching. No, there is a fear of the Lord, and that fear of the Lord will bring a discipline into your life, and it will bring an obedience into your life. Come on now. You following this? I don't want to do anything contrary to what the Holy Ghost is leading me to do, and I'm sure you do not want to do that also. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 3, and let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Look what it says in verse 11. Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, what you're seeing, what we just read, is the wicked. Right? And a lot of sinners are like that. Now, there's some sinners out there that they know there's a God. I've talked to them. Oh, yeah. Grandma took me to Sunday school when I was a little kid. And I know that Jesus died on the cross and raised from the dead. But and they're giving me the reason why they, you know, on and on. They know, right? And but there's a whole group of folk out there. There is no fear of God. We're living in that generation here in America. They want to strip God out of everything, right? They have no fear of God. Now, folks, I'm not going to stay here long because we're talking about you have the fear of the Lord, right? But this is important that we're dealing with people that have no fear of God. Now, listen, what brings the fear of God is power manifestations. What brings the fear of God? I'm talking about the sinners and the wicked. Certainly, it can wake up some Christians. But is the power demonstration manifestation of God? You want to see some people come into the fear of God immediately? Let them be in a meeting or out in the public square where somebody that was demon-possessed and was a lunatic, and the devil gets cast out of him right in front of everyone, right? That'll put the fear of God into some folk that are standing around. They'll be saying, what was all that? That was a devil just came out. A devil? Where'd he go? I don't know, but you better get right with the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? So, no fear of the Lord then. If the fear of the Lord is a cautious respect for God and his ways, then no fear of the Lord is a total disrespect for God and his ways. Go with me to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Let's put our eyes on verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. And that's what I was getting at a little bit of a while ago when I was talking about that daddy thing. Right? That the fear towards the Lord is taught by the precept of men. Listen, you don't need an opinion of what the fear of the Lord is. You need a Bible explanation and the Bible to reveal to you the fear of the Lord versus what some seminary said. Are you following? And so, isn't it interesting that the fear of the Lord is taught by the precept of men, these men, he describes them, they draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but they remove their heart far from me. See, if their heart was near, they would really know the fear of the Lord. And they wouldn't be teaching what they're teaching. Are you following? But see, when you want an excuse for not pressing into God, then you'll make up what the fear of the Lord is to soothe your conscience. Justify your own actions. And again, you bring God down to an earthly level instead of taking people up to the heavenly place. Did you follow that? Okay. Now, that's enough of that. Let's look at the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9. Now remember, the fear of the Lord is assisting your faith. Proverbs chapter 9. And let's look at verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can't change it. Can't change it. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. What's he going to give you? No, he's going to give you the fear of the Lord first before what you're asking for him, because what you're asking could destroy you. You might be asking for $1 million, and prosperity destroys a fool if there's no fear of the Lord there. So when you're asking for wisdom, you got to know that the first thing he going to give to you is the fear of the Lord. Does it say it's the beginning? So we asking for wisdom for all these things, right? And not walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, I believe you're walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm speaking because there's cameras, right? Are you following this? But you need to understand, without the fear of the Lord, you're not going to be consistent in faith, because you'll just use your faith until you get out of something. The fear of the Lord will get you out of something with your faith and keep you out. Are you following this? We don't need to live by faith just when we're in a jam. Most Christians, that's where they live. They just got jam faith. Right? Faith jam. Right? But the fear of the Lord, see, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. You know, when I made that $100,000 vow for wisdom, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. I just know that the Lord said in my heart, make a $100,000 vow. Lord, we just gave away everything. I don't have a penny of $100,000. But I knew just as clear in here, $100,000 vow. So I made the $100,000 vow, and they said, what are you making it for? I didn't even know. I was just being obedient. But what came out of my mouth? Wisdom. Now, at that time, I was such a baby Christian, I didn't know about Solomon, that he had chosen wisdom instead of all the riches. I didn't know that. Found it out real quick. But you talk about the fear of the Lord's been in my life from, as Mama Alberta would say, day one, right? So understand, your faith can work in any level of the fear of the Lord, or even without it. But if you want the fear of the Lord and your faith to be consistent to where he's daily loading you with benefits, you're going to have to operate in the fear of the Lord. See? And I hope that this teaching tonight, that you'll ask the Lord now for wisdom in the fear of the Lord. Now, when you do that, you're stepping over a line. You think your obedience is good so far, But you don't know. See, God knows what he can challenge you with where you're at. But if you step over into the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord, he'll challenge you beyond your soul for sure. Are you following this? I'll do it by myself then. I'm gonna get happy about it. I don't need no unction. You're hearing valuable truth. I mean, I could stop right there tonight, and that ought to put you on your knees. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when Pastor Desnor answered a while ago, what he was answering is correct. We can go and ask for wisdom, and we're going to get wisdom for that situation. But the startup, the beginning of it, come on now, is wisdom. And it's the principal thing. I mean, you just went past knowledge and understanding all the way to application. That's why when you get here, get ready to do. And that's why a lot of people don't want to get there, because they're scared of what God may challenge them to do. So, and you just stopped right there. Fear. Wrong kind of fear. See? Hallelujah. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 2 Corinthians. I didn't see nobody jump real high then, though. That's all right. We leap before we look. 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 Yes! You understand that this is not a charismatic little thing we're doing, but it's a prophetic activation of what God said about this month. We're in the leap year, and we're in the leap month, and we're going to leap ahead of all the mess we've been in, everything we've been walking through. And this month, we're going to leap for joy. We're going to leap for abundance. We're going to leap for health. We're going to leap for turnaround. We're going to leap that God is moving on our behalf. And we're just doing a prophetic answer to what has been released. So it's not, well, Pastor Phillips jumping, I guess I got to because somebody's going to see me. You're missing it. You're missing it. And if you don't understand that, you ain't understanding what I'm saying. You might as well stay at home. I mean, if you don't understand that, then you're really not understanding what I'm saying. You're not able to bring it in. See? I ain't coming in here because I need a place to preach. I've preached all over the place. But I love God, and I love you. And I've set aside this time. Early in the morning, seeking God. What is to be released tonight? What are they supposed to hear tonight? What's going to cause them to triumph tonight? What's going to give them the victory tonight? What is the word that you're sending to them tonight? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to utter? What is supposed to come forth out of my mouth? What do they need to hear? What is it? What is it? And when it comes out, there ought to be something. Hallelujah. Yes. I got to hurry. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Doing what? Doing what? Perfecting holiness. How? Holiness. Holiness. Perfecting it. Maturing in it. Growing up in it. How? In the fear of God. I tell you, when you really want to obey the Lord, there are things that He allows you to do through a certain level. Then when you get to this level, He says, you know what you were doing down here? We don't do that no more. What was wrong? There was nothing wrong back then. It just don't fit in up here now. Well, was I sinning down here? No. But up here, if you don't do what you've matured to do, it would be sin. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. He'll work with you. That's how you grow up. How'd you graduate high school? Not after you came out of kindergarten. One level, another level, another level, another level, another level, right? And we're growing in the things of God. Your faith, we saw it last night, your faith groweth exceedingly. And we are going from faith to faith. Well, we should, when we got born again, we brought a bunch of baggage in, a bunch of issues. How we were raised, right? How we were educated, and what we experienced had shaped us, right? And God knows that. But He also knows that the Word will cleanse you by the washing of the water of the Word, right? Right? But without the fear of God, holiness is then just a side issue instead of something you want to really attain to. Remember, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. You're in right standing with God, right? And it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But we're to work out our salvation with what? What? What?
Fear.
You following this? And how do we work it out? Right living. That's holiness. Right living. See? So we ought to be, and we're not talking about a dress code. Although, you know, there ought to be some modesty in how you dress, right? Not trying to show everybody your flesh and wiggling all over the place or flexing, whatever, right? Seriously, right? Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now listen, we're talking about your faith working alongside the fear of the Lord. And without that understanding, then your faith is going to be hit and miss. All of a sudden, you listen to some faith shots, and your faith jumped up there, and you grabbed a miracle. But you're not operating in the fear of the Lord. And so, it's a scattered thing. It's not a consistent thing. See, I want to see God consistently, His hand moving in my life. Don't you? And I believe that's what He has for us this year. I believe by the time December gets here, we're going to look back and say, Lord, have mercy, what a year this has been. Hey. Glory to God. I got to get with it. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, number one, the fear of the Lord, faith is wisdom. Number two, the fear of the Lord, faith is holiness. Number three, Ephesians chapter 5. I don't have
time to wait on you.
Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Uh-oh. Submission. Now, this right here is talking about husband and wives, but it's talking about Christ and the church, too. Right? It takes the fear of the Lord in this volunteer army that we have to walk in submission. To walk in submission. See, I'm blessed to have a church that is not telling me, arguing with me, saying we ought to do this, all that. Right? But there's a true submission. Submitting to the mission. No matter what that mission could be. Right? And the way, if you allow the terminology divine order and submission operates, is in the fear of God. So it's real hard for a marriage to be out of whack and faith to work. You want your marriage to work? Husbands, get the fear of the Lord. Wives, get the fear of the Lord. And then you won't talk to your husband like you've been talking. You won't treat your wife like you've been treating. There's a different, you know, God told me, I've given Alberta to you as a gift from me, and she better come back to me better than how I gave her to you. Now, that put the fear of the Lord in me. Come on now. And so submission is only attainable. Otherwise, people just submit to what they agree to. Submission, it only really comes into full necessary application is when you don't agree. For instance, God didn't tell you to have these meetings. And I'm sure it messed up your schedule. It sure did mine. I said it sure did mine. Right? It interrupted a whole lot of things. But what caused you to be here? What caused me to be here? Submission. Fear of the Lord. See? Not afraid that He's going to put your life out. Just sheer obedience and respect. A cautious respect for God and His ways. And He didn't have you come in here just to say, watch this, Moses. I can make them have meetings for 3 weeks in a row. Watch this. He ain't doing that. He's got a plan for you to prosper. He's got a plan for you to be in health. He's got a plan for you this year, the year you've been waiting for, the year that the priests are going to rise up and shine. Come on. There might be darkness out there in the world, but arise, shine, because that gross darkness is going to see a light like they've never seen a light, and it's going to come from a submitted people. It's going to come from people operating in the fear of the Lord. Come on, someone. Talking about the fear of the Lord, faith. Proverbs 8. You getting anything out of this? good stuff, I tell you. Proverbs 8. Look at this. In verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. So God hates it. And he says, if you have my fear in you, you hate it. Now listen, he uses the word hate. Most Christians look at evil and say this, that's wrong. That's evil. 2 + 2 = 5 is wrong. Y'all still know that 2 + 2 does not equal 5. Doesn't matter if Johnny thinks that. We're going to pass him on anyways. It's not enough. That's what's been wrong with Christians. We've been so passive. And we're looking at evil. And we're just saying, that's wrong. Folks, it went way past being wrong. It's evil. It's out of hell. And the fear of the Lord will take you past, that's wrong, to that's evil. And when something is recognized as evil, there's something that rises up inside of you that you won't fear it. I fear no evil. But you're not going to live with it. And Christians have been just, Lord, I'm praying for the politicians. All the wrong things they're doing, that you would touch their heart. And I know we're supposed to pray for all those in authority. And so I'm just praying for them that you'd make them wrong things right. What? Father, in the name of Jesus, they're operating in evil, and I release right now that you bring them out. I call them out. Put angels around them that stop their mouths, that stop their policies, and I cause them to fall in the name of Jesus. Squeaky included. Hallelujah. So the fear of the Lord, faith hates evil. Hates evil. Do you hate it? See, I hate debt. I hate it. I see what it does to people. I hate abortion. I know what it does to people. See, so on and so forth. Proverbs 10. Let's get some benefits out of this, fear of the Lord. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you're going to live long and you're going to live strong. Come on now. And your days are going to be full. Not getting in bed and just, well, I'm glad this day's over. No, climbing in bed saying, my goodness, look at what got done today. Supernatural, what God accomplished. Hallelujah. See? Fear of the Lord How many of you planning on living long? Wonderful. Fear of the Lord. Are we reading the Bible? So fear of the Lord, faith is wisdom. Fear of the Lord, faith is holiness. Fear of the Lord, faith has submission. Fear of the Lord hates evil. Fear of the Lord, faith prolongs days. Number 6, Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, for it has a great recompense of reward. How would you keep from casting it away? Fear the Lord. No. No. See, that fear of the Lord is not just obedience. It's not just submission. It's not just walking in holiness. The fear of the Lord will let you know who he is. You really cannot operate in the fear of the Lord and not know the Lord. You will learn his ways. You will learn. For instance, if I go to God with a certain thing, in my understanding of him, is probably in his response is going to be a seed. Because I know him. I know how he is. See, I know how the kingdom operates. That's how he operated. He sowed Jesus, reaped us, right? But there's a strong confidence when you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions which we desired of him. See? Strong confidence. I know my God will show up on my behalf. I know that. I know that. You should know that. No matter where you are in what you're believing for and what how impossible it looks, you ought to have strong confidence that this don't end this way. No, it ends with me victorious. Come on now. If you've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's that he told you to do, see, are you following? But if there's that thing he ain't done, it's way down there and you don't want it to bubble up. You try to act like you don't hear it. If that's there, you're hindering yourself. That's why the Bible says 100-fold comes from that honest heart. Good and honest heart. To where you can really just say, okay, God. Okay. What is it? And the fear of the Lord will compel you to do it. And when you do it, it leaves a strong confidence. I did what I was supposed to do. And he's not mocked. Whatsoever I do, I will reap. And I have strong confidence. Strong confidence in that. Do you see that? Are you following this? Talking about the fear of the Lord, faith. Anybody got strong confidence tonight? Hallelujah. Is this helping anyone? That's the right answer. Look at verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fountains of life. Fountains. We're talking about just not a little bubble out of the ground, but we're talking about a fountain of life. To depart from the snares. So the enemy, he has these snares set for you and for me, hoping that we'll step in it, that we'll get ourselves entangled in it. And if you do, there's a quick get out. You know, you got to get out of jail card Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? Right? But the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So in other words, the enemy goes to extremes to set these snares for you, to just entrap you. But the fear of the Lord, you got a fountain of life. He gives you the wisdom. And you see it ahead of time. You just walk right around it. You just jump right over it. It was meant to take you out. It was meant to kill you. It was meant to bring death into your business, death into your marriage, death into your finances, death into whatever. But the fear of the Lord is a fountain. That fountain is nonstop, constantly flowing, constantly. Isn't it something how when the enemy tries to attack your soul with a bunch of stuff and, you know, you're sorting through it and, you know, okay, I got to get my joy going and I got to get my leap on. I got to get tongues going here. I got to lift my hands. And you, what's happening? Fountain of life. The fountain of life is coming up, right? And then all of a sudden you put all that together. All of a sudden you're saying, hey, glory be to God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't feel like it, but you're doing it anyway. Glory be to God. And you're priming it. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on now. Come on now. And what you're doing it in submission to your Lord. That you're not going to try to bring all this back into your hands. Come on. He's got this thing. Right? And all of a sudden, here comes that fountain. And all of a sudden, your soul readjusts. And it went from the attempt of the enemy to oppress you to, it ain't all that. It ain't all that. Boy, somebody needed to hear that tonight. It ain't all that. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't all that. Hey, it ain't all that. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They already think you're crazy coming to the church. Just confirm them. But when they see what you manifest, and they know you ain't that smart, and your paycheck didn't do that, hallelujah. Oh, I got to hurry. I got 4 minutes. Proverbs 22. Y'all pulling on me too much tonight. Come on now. Verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are poverty, dishonor, and death. Is that what your Bible says? What's your Bible say? Shout that word. Shout it like an army. Riches and honor and life. Folks, come on. There's something powerful about the fear of the Lord, faith. God tells you right there. That's his plan. But there's submission required, that humility. Not my way, but your way. Right? One more. Isaiah 33, we close right here. I'm trying to stay and get you out at 8:30. I quit at about 8:35 last night, and me and my wife are leaving, going on 9 o'clock. Y'all still here? I'm like, okay, all right, I see how you are. Isaiah 33, come on, come on, come on, come on. Verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. To help you better understand that, where your treasure is, there will your faith be also. Your faith is in your heart. You follow that? And so the fear of the Lord is our treasure. We treasure. See, when we really understand the fear of the Lord, again, I'm not talking about you, you know, every night before you go to bed taking communion in case you die. There's people do it. Lord, I confess all my sins, known and unknown. Unknown? They're so unknown the Holy Ghost couldn't convict you of it. Well, I'm just covering all the bases. Ain't nothing on the base. It's empty. Hello? Do you see that? So this fear of the Lord, faith, folks, this is so vital for where we're going the next 2 weeks. Because I told you that you're going to be inspired in these 3 weeks. And whatever he says to you, you just do that and watch the result of it. And I'm not trying to manipulate you into anything. I believe you're matured enough to obey God. See, I believe I'm matured enough to obey God and bring the word every night to you, right? And I'm thankful to be a pastor, to have such a flock, if you will, that will show up for special meetings like this, because I've never done this before and we've never been here before. And to have what you've never had before, you got to do something you've never done before. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, give yourself a big hand. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go the way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house, Lord, in Jesus' name. So be it, and it's 8:30. Go.